Hello.
Hi, how's everyone?
Doing great. How are you?
Terrific, thank you. Getting settled into Nashville. I just moved from Florida to Nashville.
What
So
took you to Nashville?
my daughter's here with her husband and my granddaughter.
Oh,
So
fantastic.
yeah, isn't
Nice.
that fun? Yeah. So we're getting we were just up in the mountains for a week and now back in Nashville and getting all settled in, things are quiet here, but compared to Nashville normal.
Yeah.
But
What's the status of COVID in Nashville and Tennessee in general?
well, it's supposedly pretty bad, but it's pretty quiet right now. I don't see no, there are not that many people wearing masks, but they all seem to be social distancing at least.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, so we're fine. We're in a condominium on the river, and it's we gave up Indiana and the big, the bigger home, and now we're very happy with our little condo. It's lovely.
Nice.
Yeah. So we share time between here and Florida, and then so it's great. So I get to take my 6-year-old out to hit golf balls at 3 o'clock every afternoon. I know,
Perfect.
it's just perfect. Exactly what grandfathers should have to do. So it's just wonderful. They're all very special. We're very blessed. You just don't have parent time as a parent, you're too busy. And the greatest thing in the world is having a chance, if you ever do get a chance, to be a grandparent. It's very special.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what's on your mind this beautiful August day?
Go ahead, Tyler.
No, after you.
Rob, how are you, sir?
Good, Tyler.
This is Stefan. How are you?
Hi, Stefan.
Sorry I missed you last week. Sounds like you're a golfer, so I was out of Bandon Dunes for 4 days, so
Oh, stop it. You're killing me.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. But
I was out there last year,
yeah, it's
in the
pretty
fall.
special.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's a
Yeah.
great place.
Thank you. Yeah. I try my best. I caught up on the recording and trying to play catch up. I had a couple questions going over last week's recording, just in general, as I'm trying to
Sure.
transition everything. You guys, you, the other we thought about the minimum, you guys based it mostly every time I heard you guys refer to it as it was on a asset value. Am I just equating that to the 1% fee, like
Yeah.
you said is still an appropriate number? I mean, so like,
Yeah,
okay, so,
that's
okay.
fine. Yeah, we just make
Okay.
it,
All right.
we use that for sim, there's 11 different screens, profitability, referability, all kinds of things that make a client valuable. If you have to go
Right.
to Alaska to see somebody twice a year, they better be paying you enough money to make the trip worthwhile. So their profitability
Sure.
becomes an issue.
Sure.
But in general, we use the
Yeah.
1% fee on the assets to give us our kind of our number for, a million or whatever we're looking for.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And then, just regarding the contacts and obviously the 4-2, I get that. No problem. Some of the 12 contacts, I mean, is that as simple as, like an email from Miranda, making sure online is set up for the client or tax season? That's another kind, or walk me through the
Now,
12 as
okay,
far as the
so the really the 12-4-2 was fine in 1994. But today, clients want more. And you think that's crazy. No. And FAs are like, I don't call my clients every month. And we're like, okay, but that's what they want. They actually want more. And what we end up giving them is more like a 48. If you include all the contacts that we make with them, we give them 48 contacts a year. So how does that work out? we used to just think of the other eight as touches, you know, just touch them. Touching isn't any good anymore. It's not enough. So what do? We think of it as a board of directors. Think of it as you're the CFO for a company and your client is the CEO and you're organizing the board meetings for him or her. And so you're going to have an agenda for the board meeting and then you're going to have an executive summary. If it was a board meeting, you'd call it the minutes. We call it the executive summary. So think about if you have a $20 million client, it's a big business. There's a lot of moving parts. Every month there's going to be something going on that you need to know about. He's made a commitment to give $1 million away to his university. He's going to give out $200,000 a year for 5 years. And you've got to figure out when is the best time to do that throughout the year. When the stock's going to be the highest and, you know, what makes sense in order to take care of that obligation. So you put it on the agenda for the year as something to do and it'll be on there for the next 5 years. What you do in the executive summary is you have the agenda and then you have it done. Or planning on doing it in July, or their fiscal year ends in June, so we need to do it before June. So you're really acting as their secretary or their accountability coach for things that they've got to get done in their life, not just things that they're having to do with managing the money. You really become their life coach, their CFO, or their family. So what we create is a virtual family office group. And you say, well, this is an awful lot of service for somebody with $500,000. Well, that's correct. It is. For somebody with $500,000, the agenda, you know, it's a rollover and that's it for them forever. They may not meet your minimum and you may want to reassign them, but your agenda for them would be a very simple agenda. And then a very simple executive summary, you know, just basically a check-in. How's the family? And, no changes necessary. Thanks. Bye. Executive summary. No changes necessary. So this is really designed for the team that's creating a concierge practice for fairly high net worth clients. And okay. So that's what the whole plan is. Now the quarterlies don't look an awful lot different now. They used to be a big difference. It was all about performance, but now we don't even use the word performance. What we talk about is what we're offering is multi-generational planning with full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled reviews of the plan. Okay. Two of those will be in person. So you're really reviewing the original plan and updating it. So you can be talking about everything except for performance. Maybe you just say, hey, congratulations, you're up 8%, the market's up 5%. So we're, you know, and you've got, you know, yours is an asset allocation model that's, you know, 80-20, and so you're doing much better than the market right now. And that's it. That's the whole review of performance. Now we go on to the family and family issues and business issues and other things. So where did the 48 come from? Well, you send them And you guys decide how much time you need to be prepared. But let's say you can send them their 12-month schedule ahead of time so that they know every month when their call is going to be. And it should be the same time, the first Tuesday of the month at 4 o'clock or the first Tuesday of the month at 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, you guys work out your ideal day. That's what we're going to talk about today is what is your ideal day? So do you want to work 2 days calling clients and have 3 days off? Or do you want to make all your client calls in the morning and prospect in the afternoon? Or do you want to take 2 weeks of calls and 2 weeks of prospecting? You can pretty much set up your schedule any way that you want. It will adjust for you. But the 48 comes from, okay, we're going to send them a reminder. That's an email, right? And you're probably going to do hopefully an Outlook reminder on their schedule, right? And then you're going to enclose the agenda. So that's one. You call them. That's two. You send them an executive summary. That's three. And sometime during the month, you're going to be sending them a reminder of when that call is going to be, right? So a week ahead of time, you send them the agenda. But sometime like 2 weeks before that, you remind them of when their call is. So it's four contacts, which is 48 contacts a year, which is extraordinary. And they will go crazy and love it. But you've got to rationalize the amount of time and effort that's going to take and how much people need to pay you in order to get that service. But it's, you know, we spend a lot of time figuring out how we're going to differentiate ourselves from the competition, and we just did. Okay. It's done right there. And you market that, you go out and market that to somebody with $60 million, they're going to say, wow, everybody else is talking about performance and here you've got, you're going to do this for me. I'm going with you. And that's why we want to use the mini me folder, the folder for the client helps demonstrate another way of why we're different. Cause it's just like when you join a board and they hand you the board manual. And this is, you know, this is everything about the board, when the meetings are and the board members and the protocols for the board meeting and all that stuff is in that manual. That's kind of like what you do with your mini me folder. This will be your folder. So we're going to do all these things for you. What you have to do in return for us is if you can't be on one of these calls, let us know. So don't just, you know, obviously just not show up. We put a lot of effort into this. So let us know what you're going to be doing. And at that time, you can adjust your compensation. If you decide that you're not charging enough for this service, you can tell them what you're doing. You can also introduce the concept of them acting as ambassadors for you in terms of introducing you to a couple of families every year that you think would make a good match for us. So, you know, you can, they will feel obligation to you. They'll want to do something for you because you're doing so much for them now with this service. So it will have an impact on them.
Okay. And then just a quick follow up to that. All 12 of those contacts, are they all coming from me? Are we all siloed with our particular clients, or are we cross-pollinating, you know, three or five of these calls with my teammates?
Stefan. That's really your decision to make on how you want to do it. I would initially tell you that it's siloed, okay, you handle your clients, they're scheduled for you, you take care of it, everything is done. You may decide that you want to have 50 clients and have other people have take care of the rest of them. You may decide that you want to do with some of the clients that you reassign to other people, you may want to do the 4 reviews of the plan and let them do the other 8 calls.
Got it.
You can do team calls, which I don't recommend very much. 2 people on a call, it's like 2 people, you know, digging a hole, one digging and the other watching them. You don't, but with big clients, sometimes it can help if you're introducing something or you're fairly new to the relationship. You may want to have somebody listening while you're talking so okay. that they can pick up on that. So it's kind of up to you, but in general, I would say silo the practices.
Okay. Thank you.
I've just got a couple of questions. And so I've talked to one client that I confide in a little bit about some of the, you know, what we might be doing. And one of the things is for the scheduling, and it sounds like you alluded to this, Rob. So if I want to give a client, like you said, the third Tuesday of every month at 10 a.m., I can just lock that in. That's their time. We stick to it, which avoids like the back and forth of having to always reschedule a new time, right?
Oh, it's horrible. Yeah, right. Yeah. So he knows that it's not a date. It's the first Tuesday of the month.
Yeah.
Okay, at 10 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whenever it is. And he knows that's his time for the in-person meeting as well as the phone call. So that's his hour for the rest of the year.
Got it.
Now you don't want to give them an hour. You want to give them 50 minutes. And this prevents also the 2-hour meeting. You know, we don't talk to somebody for 6 months and then we do a 2-hour meeting.
Yeah.
In person. We don't do that.
Yeah.
We have an in-person meeting for 50 minutes. So think of yourself as their physician. You don't expect the physician, even though you only meet him maybe in person twice a year or once a year. You don't expect them to give you 2 hours, okay? And neither do they. They will go with what you have for time. So the advantage of talking every month is that they know you. You don't need that much time. You know them. They know you. You need to. You have an agenda. The agenda will keep you on track, and you'll keep moving during the time. You can even go so far as to have somebody come in and say, "Okay, basically, time's up."
Okay.
And how much time are we blocking for the monthly contacts? Not an hour, right?
No, I would say that, that you want to try and get it done in 20 to 30 minutes for the monthly call, you know, and some of them will be, you know, they'll be like, I've got to run. I've got this and that. What do you got? Skip the review, go right to the agenda, go right to the action steps. Tell me what you need me to do. And you'll say, I need you to do this, this, and this. And they'll go, fine, done. And we're done. We're over in 5 minutes.
Got it.
I've done that with you know, in my reviews. Say, I'm sorry. I cannot spend much time. What's urgent today? And they'll just go right to the stuff we got to take care of. And we're done in 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah. So that's kind of up to you guys how you want to run that. But it's like with my calls. Some days I'm just absolute mess and I'm going to tell you I got 30 minutes and that's it. And other days I'm going to be okay. I can go 40 minutes and we get some extra stuff done. But I, you know, it's the same kind of thing. You just have to manage your time.
Okay.
Now, I've got another question. Now, in the current state we're in, right, I mean, paper back and forth is almost impossible. We're not even sitting in our office.
Right.
Right. Have you seen any teams have success doing this with, you know, virtual documents, Word docs, that type of thing?
Yeah, that's all we're using now. I mean, we can't. I've had one guy that was able to run back to his office, get his folders, and then he just, you know, he keeps a week's worth of folders and then he takes them because they're working part time, right? Part of the time they're in the office. So he grabs a week's worth of folders, brings them home, works on those, takes them back.
Okay.
So that's recent. That was this week. Others are using Lockbox, I think you guys call it. It's a virtual, it's a box that you can drop in things in, secure, you know, information to the client, and they put things in there too. And you can create files and folders in there for the clients, and you guys decide how you're going to do that. But, you know, other people are using whatever they use, Salesforce or something else. So it's okay. Kind of up to you guys how you want to do that. But, you know, these are extraordinary times, right? So we have to use different things. But you're familiar with that. Do you call it Lockbox? Is that right? Is it?
I think you might mean Dropbox.
Dropbox. Not yeah. Dropbox, the Dropbox of, not Dropbox out in the world. This is your own.
The Morgan Stanley tool.
Yes.
Digital Vault's what we call that.
Vault. Yeah. Not Dropbox. Vault. Yeah. I get. Okay, right. So that's what they're, you know, some teams are using that, and they discussed that on this call. Okay. They all kind of decided how they'd use it, different folders. They wanted to use the same kind of folders for each thing.
I got it. Okay.
Okay. Digital Vault. Okay. Other questions? Good. I'm glad you guys, you know, it makes it more fun for me when you have questions. How about ideal day? Day, month, year. Have you figured that out? When people are going to be out of the office, vacations? how are you going to, because you sort of decide now what your day is going to look like, and then you build your schedule around you, not the client. I know that sounds rude to the client, but the reality is it's your surgery hours, right? You have office hours, you have surgery hours. So you decide when are you going to talk to clients, when are you going to be working on other things, and that's kind of up to you. When are you going to be prospecting, when are you going to be doing research, so you decide what your time is. And that was one of the questions we kind of left you with last week, was come up with your ideal day.
How, I mean, that was another question I had. I didn't want to monopolize our time, but now that you're bringing it up, any suggestions on how to factor the unknowns of, okay, well, I made an unknown because maybe far enough in advance I can find out when the kids' spring break is, you know, figure out things. And then also, you know, I guess the flip side of that, the bigger question is, you know, you schedule something for the day of the month with this client, and then that's that family spring break. Like how much of rescheduling, I mean, how, once it's set, are we going to have to kind of adjust and,
Here's the way in reality it works. If you get 10 of the 12 calls done, that's really good. Okay.
Okay.
And for example, you may be on vacation and you want Chuck to make the call because it's an important call. You want to have him get to know the client, and it's just works up. It works great. You know, everybody. So for example, with my team, when Kim is out, Tyler will take the call. And I know to call Tyler when he's not available. So it and I'm happy with both, right? So it works great. So each of you should sort of have a backup that can cover for you. So you may want to decide, for example, that if Stefan is going to make calls in the morning, Tyler may want to make calls in the afternoon. Or, you know, Chuck does calls in the morning and so forth. You guys kind of decide how you want to work. And then, there are four times a year there are 5 week months, January, April, July, and October. So that's extra time. It may not actually be a full week. It may be 4 days or something, depending on the calendar. But that gives you a chance to take vacations during those times, or theoretically prospect during that time, or make up calls during that time.
Hey, Rob, go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, along with that, I've been kind of pondering on how to do this schedule, and particularly when we look at our specific practice, probably more so for Stefan rather than myself, but Steph's clients are stretched up and down the coast. So when he's doing the in-person meetings, that's going to necessitate him being up in Delaware, right? And so how do you factor that into the schedule of this is an in-person call, but that actually means it's a day trip to get there. Does that make sense how you?
No, it's really important. So let's just use that example. So if you had 6 clients in Delaware, you might decide, okay, we're going to schedule them for their 12-4-2s as if I'm going to see them in person. So on Monday, it's going to be Monday at 9 o'clock, Monday at 12, Monday at 3 o'clock. Okay, Tuesday at 9, 12, and 3. So I can see 6 people all within 2 days and be out of there by Wednesday. Okay, and I get it done. If you need 3 days, great. You schedule. But those would be your regular 12-4-2 calls. So that would, and that's just an example. I mean, because you clearly can't, you know, be in 2 places at once. So you can't make it 9, 10, and 11 when you're trying to travel between calls and give people time to see you, unless you can borrow an office and you can line them up to come in and see you. But let's assume that you're going to see them at their place of work or whatever, then you need time in between the calls. So you kind of think through it and schedule it that way.
So I guess to that point, and that's a great example. And then the other example is, using the travel example, I don't think I'm going to DC or Philadelphia probably until about 6, max 8 weeks before my trip, sometimes even less. So the week that is going to be affected, you know, I would have regularly scheduled calls now that I have a conflict with. I mean, how bad does it look to go back to those clients and need to reschedule? Or, you know, the example I was going to ask before Tyler posed that point, like, you know, what if my coaches or my son's basketball schedule came out and I want to help coach and it's, you know, conflicting with the 4 o'clock Wednesday or something? Like, I mean, is this a bad practice to get into?
No, I just would not schedule anything. If you anticipate that you're going to coach at 4 o'clock for the rest of your life, okay, I would never schedule anything past 2 o'clock.
Right.
Okay, so you just do it.
But okay. I mean, I guess in my mind, the ideal day is, you know, I don't necessarily miss, but, you know, the days of like working late, you know, longer days, I kind of like the idea of, you know, 2 days a week, you know, I'm making calls to clients on the West Coast. I'm making calls to clients that prefer after work, after hours, you know, like, so my point is if I find in the spring that Tuesday, Thursday cycle isn't going to work, is that okay to kind of explain that to the clients?
Yeah.
Or
and you can,
I'm not going to care.
No, you got to coach your team. You only have coaching opportunities for, you'd be shocked at how short a period of time that is in your life, you know, how quickly it goes. So you don't want to miss that. In our business, that's what our business allows that. So you don't want to punish yourself for, you know, you chose the right business. You have flexibility. Supernova should work for you. Okay? You don't work for it. So you can adjust it. So you anticipate, okay, in the spring I'm going. So you can, just tell people, look, you know, this is my schedule until spring, and then my schedule changes. And your 12-4-2 is going to be at a different time.
Okay, so, I can just kind of.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
Preface it. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And just, you know, just you're going to find that you're going to need to do a little more long-term planning. That's all. So for vacations and things like that, you don't have three guys out at the same time. You don't want that, right? So you want to plan things so that you don't have the other guy having to cover for you that much. But occasionally, of course, somebody's going to cover for you. And the other thing is you can make one of the calls an administrative call and cover things. You know, fortunately, COVID, I mean, one of the good things about COVID is if anybody wasn't online before, you know, Morgan Stanley Online, they're online now. So you took care of a lot of the you know, the administrative things that you'd normally do to follow up on. But there's always things. So one of your administrative team can call and make that an administrative call. Is there anything on your mind? Is there anything that we can do for you? I noticed that you don't have your something done. You don't have this set up. We'd love to help you go through that and set that up for you. And people love that. They appreciate that. And that way they get to know the whole team rather than just you.
Okay.
So, yeah. So we make it very, very structured. But then, of course, like a doctor, you know, what do you think they do? They just have to do stuff, right? You get a call and then, sorry, you know, Dr. Knapp is out. He's going to be out for, you know, he's got a change of appointments and we got to move your appointment. Okay. What's going to work? And they just move it. So
okay,
it happens less than you think, but you also don't want somebody coming in and messing with your schedule. You know, like, you know, I'm always amazed, and I'm not. This is not any firm in particular, but all of a sudden, you know, there's this last minute meeting. Wait a minute, I got a whole day of appointments. Yeah. You know, come on, you can't do that to me. You know, just because somebody's coming in town. I love them, but you know, let's see if, give us a little notice and, we'll be happy to make time for them. So I think it just makes you a little bit more of a business person, you know, and that's a good thing. So your productivity should be better. And here's what you're going to find. The clients are like a flower. Even though you've had them for a long time, when you do this 12-4-2, they start to open up and open up and open up. And you think, wow, that's amazing. They've told me things that they've never told me before. They've sent in money that they didn't tell me they had. So you'll see more, get to know more, and they'll be more open to you because you're committing more to them. So it doesn't matter who's practiced. It doesn't matter how good you guys are at service up to now. This level of service will help them, will give them confidence to even open up more than they have in the past. Okay.
Okay.
All right, so good. Good questions on ideal day. Start to put it together and then put it together as a team and see what it looks like. It's not going to be perfect like anything. You'll make adjustments as you go, but it will work fine. Now you kind of have to lay everybody, the scheduler, there's a weird thing about the scheduler. The scheduler is you put all your clients into the scheduler. And then you push a button and it populates everything. So the month is done. But if you put 10 clients into the scheduler, it'll populate the whole month. Then if you put 10 more in, it'll double populate. So you kind of have to wait till you have everybody scheduled to push the button. Okay. That's technical. Unfortunately, it's just one of the issues with the scheduler. Schedule is magic because it will do the 12-4-2 for you and automatically. It'll do it automatically and balance out your whole, you know, if you put 100 clients in there, it'll balance them out so you'll have 5 a day and you'll have no more than 1 appointment. But don't put them in 4 times or you're going to duplicate it 4 times. Okay? I throw that out there. Just Cindy, you should be having a call with Cindy Bowie, who is my administrative person. She's my chief operating officer. And she will teach your team how to use the scheduler. If you haven't done it, you should do it.
Okay.
Well, I got a question on that. What's wrong with just using Outlook? I'm pretty comfortable with Outlook.
Well, this populates Outlook.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. We're not, I just updated it. So it works with the newest version of Microsoft Outlook and everything else. That's why we do it. Okay. This is an important week. Week 3 is roles and responsibilities of the team. Who's doing what and getting organized. So we get you organized not just 12-4-2 calling, but we get you organized team-wise. And we did that originally because we needed a model to coach to. Right? Who's doing what? Well, I don't know. You know, everybody kind of does everything. Well, that's no good, right? So we built this model and we've stuck with it. There hasn't been any reason to change it. It seems to encompass everything that we do efficiently and effectively. So what the challenge this week is to tell me, and you don't have to do it this week, but I want to at least next week tell me who you think is right for what roles and responsibilities. So if you've already met and you've watched the video and you have this done, I'm happy to write down who it is that's doing what. But this chapter is really, I redid the workbook just before we started coaching. So this is brand new, up to date, current, and should give you a clear explanation of roles and responsibilities in the workbook. I'm talking about the workbook. The video does it too, but the workbook I think is more comprehensive now. I wrote it. It's also in the Supernova Multiplier in excruciating detail, the book, the Supernova Multiplier. So where are you guys in terms of roles and responsibilities?
We haven't met to review it. I mean, I kind of made my thoughts on it, but you know, maybe we don't waste our time today and we have a sidebar conversation to really hammer it down, or is that best for you?
Yeah. Because, you know, I don't want to get into the politics of your organization and who's what. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And why should you have that job? And
right.
I know how it goes. Any questions on the roles and why we picked those roles? You want me to go through them, or you want me to, you got it, or what do you want me to do?
I mean, is the implementation role, not just portfolio implementation, but implementation of the call cycle and the service, or what's now, the implementation role?
Okay, so the director of planning is really, that's such a big job. They don't do all the planning, clearly. They just manage the planning process. So they make sure that you have a consistent client experience and the planning process is consistent and your updating experience for the clients is consistent. So what we're trying to do is bring consistency and process to every one of these roles and responsibilities. So the planning process should be a process, not a book, not a document. It's a process and it goes on forever and is updated. The reason we separated implementation from planning is because that's a whole nother business. right? You take the asset and the liability side of the balance sheet and you implement everything that comes out of the financial plan. So you've got asset management, liability management, you've got risk management, insurance management, all kinds of things that you have to do in order to fulfill the client's needs. And so you want to have a simplified, you want to have a consistent investment process. So everybody that comes in with this particular risk profile, this age, you plug them in and they all look pretty much the same when they come out the other side. You don't have a bunch of tails. You're going to have concentrated positions, but take those out, right? And just everything that we manage falls into this bell curve, and there's no big tails out here that are going to be, oh, this guy's got fabulous performance. Well, that's because I bought him, you know, an overweighting in Apple and I let him keep it or whatever. I don't care what you do. I just want you to be able to talk about it like you're a money manager. All right. So you should be able to talk about your performance and everybody, just like with Supernova, your service model should be very consistent for every single client. Your investment model should be very consistent for every single client. So you shouldn't have, a bunch of divergences. The other thing, you can take this role and really develop it into something else that is much more important. One of the roles is the 24-month calendar. And that is, you could think of it as a 12-month calendar, but what we found was that when we initiate some of these activities, they take more than 1 month. So if you were going to just do a 12-month calendar, you'd probably only be able to initiate four new parts of the financial plan. So think of it as, let's say you were going to talk about long-term care. Well, long-term care may take 2 months to implement because, you know, you talk to 200 people and out of that 220 need to do something, right? And you got to follow up on that. So you don't want to be jamming yourself up with a new product or, you know, the next month is examine beneficiaries. Well, that takes time to get the documents in and make sure you got everything organized. And what we found was that there are at least 8 topics that you need to talk about. And that takes about 2 years to get through those 8 topics. You could do it faster if you really wanted to, but I don't want to make you guys crazy. So my thing is to make, you're going to have topics that are calendar driven, like required minimum distribution and, tax selling. They're going to happen every year. Outlook for the new year. You're going to talk about that every year. So those topics will stay the same. So what I give you is somewhere in, I think maybe chapter 5, I forget exactly, you have a calendar of 24-month calendar of topics to introduce besides just the topics that are in the client's agenda. And that's so to help you. So what I'm saying is you can take the role and expand it. That really is kind of a training officer's responsibility. So in preparation for that month, you should have notified the back office that we're going to be doing a lot of mortgages, a lot of mortgages this month. Okay. Probably be doing 10 or 20 mortgages this month. So we want you to be ready. We want everybody on the team trained to be sure that they understand exactly what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Okay. In terms of mortgages, where are all the mortgage rates? What are the different ways we could do a mortgage? Could we use lines of credit in order to avoid all the complications of mortgages for wealthy families? You know, do securitize loans and things like that. So there's a lot of interesting things that you can do on each of these topics. So that would be, you do that the month ahead of the actual month that you're going to be introducing the topic. So the training officer's role, or the director of implementation's role, is to be that person. So they should be a person that likes that stuff, wants to kind of make the team better and better educated and better at what they do. But also a person that, you know, likes products and investments and things like that. Okay. So it's the director of brand management. We included in brand management the Supernova client experience, the 1242s, but also operations and compliance. And compliance means compliance with the process, but also making sure that the team's compliance posture is correct in terms of SEC compliance. In terms of everything that we do, and make sure we're protecting our brand. Our brand is worth a lot of money, and we don't want it violated for any reason. Director of marketing is the director of growth, and then the director of leadership is the one that checks on everybody else and is a servant leader and helps everybody and develops everybody on the team. And is a real true leader. So those are the five stars of the leadership model. Okay.
Yep.
So it's good. And then what you can do, you don't have to do it unless you want to at this stage. We build a business plan out of it by doing a gap analysis of where are we now and where are we going to be in the future. It can be very helpful when you report in. And what we do is when we get to week 12, we'll start reporting in based on the five-star model. We can start doing that now, but it's the idea that everybody is swimming down the pool together, not watching one guy swim. So we're not just building folders this month. We're not just doing schedules. We're working on our 24-month calendar. We're working on our financial planning. We're working on our growing our practice and all together. So it's a real way of getting leveraging and truly using the team to let have everybody working in their particular areas hard to get to where their goals are going to be. So if you want to do the gap analysis, figure out where you are and where you want to be, make up a little mini plan on how you're going to get there, then that can be very helpful in terms of reporting in to the team and to me how you're doing versus what you want to accomplish. Okay? So again, a lot to cover every week, but read the workbook over carefully. Check on those roles and responsibilities and then get together and come up with what you think is the best people that are most suitable for what roles. Okay?
Sounds good.
Good. Great working with you guys. I appreciate you the questions. And, each week if you can come up with a series of questions, I'll know you've done your homework. Okay?
Sounds good. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks.
Have a good afternoon.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.